Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 26, The Hellish Planets, Text 32, I guess. So there's a translation, there's no purport, but we'll just keep on reading the translations. In this life, some people give shelter to animals and birds that come to them for protection in the village or forest, and after making them believe that they will be protected, such people pierce them with lances or threads and play with them like toys, giving them great pain. After death, such people are brought to the assistance of Yamaraj to the hell known as Sulaprota, where their bodies appear with sharp, needle-like lances. They suffer from hunger and thirst, and sharp-beaked birds such as vultures and herons come at them from all sides to tear at their bodies. Tortured and suffering, they can then remember the sinful activities they committed in the past. Translation, text 33. Those who are in this life are like envious serpents, always angry and giving pain to other living entities, fall after death into the hell known as Dandasuka. My dear King, in this hell, there are serpents with 5 or 7 hoods. These serpents eat such sinful persons just as snakes eat mice. Text 34. It only gets better. Those who are in this life confine other living entities in dark wells, granaries, or mountain caves, are put after death into the hell known as Avata Nirodhana. There they themselves are pushed into dark wells where poisonous fumes and smoke suffocate them and they suffer very severely. Text 35. A householder who receives guests or visitors with cruel glances as if to burn them to ashes is put into the hell called Paryavartana, where he is gazed at by hard-eyed vultures, herons, crows, and similar birds, which suddenly swoop down and pluck at his eyes with great force. Purport. According to the Vedic etiquette, even an enemy who comes to a householder's home should be received in such a gentle way that he forgets that he has come to the home of an enemy. A guest who comes to one's home should be received very politely. If he is unwanted, the householder should not stare at him with blinking eyes. For one who does so, we put into the hell known as Paryavartana after death. And there are many ferocious birds like vultures, crows, cockneys will suddenly come upon him and pluck out his eyes. We're almost at the end of the fifth canto. I'm sure everyone's going to miss the fifth canto. I'll just read one more verse. One who in this world or in this life is very proud of his wealth always thinks, I am so rich, who can equal me? His vision is twisted, and he is always afraid that someone will take his wealth. Indeed, he even suspects his superiors. His face and heart dry up at the thought of losing his wealth, and therefore he always looks like a wretched fiend. He is not in any way able to obtain actual happiness, and he does not know what it is to be freed from anxiety. Because of the sinful things he does to earn money, augment his wealth, and protect it, he is put into the hell called Suchimukha, where the officials of Yamaraj punish him by stitching thread throughout his entire body, like weavers manufacturing cloths. Purport. Well, when, is, one possesses more wealth than necessary, he certainly becomes very proud. This is the situation of men in modern civilization. According to Vedic civilization culture, Brahmins do not possess anything, whereas Kshatriyas possess riches, but only for performing sacrifices and other noble activities as prescribed in the Vedic injunctions. A Vaishya also earns money honestly through agriculture, cow protection, and some trade. If a Shudra gets money, however, he will spend it lavishly without discrimination, or simply accumulate it for no purpose. Because in this age, there are no qualified Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, or Vaishyas. Almost everyone is a Shudra. Kalo Shudra Sambhava. Therefore, the Shudra mentality is causing great harm to modern civilization. A Shudra does not know how to use money or render transcendent loving service to the Lord. Money is also called Lakshmi, and Lakshmi is always engaged in the service of Narayan. However, wherever there is money, it must be engaged in the service of Lord Narayan. Everyone should use his money to spread the great transcendental movement of Krishna consciousness. One does not spend money for this purpose, but accumulates more than necessary, he will certainly become proud of the money he illegally possesses. The money actually belongs to Krishna, who says in Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Bhaktaram Jagatapsa Tapasam Sarvalokameheshwaram. I am the true enjoyer of sacrifices and penances. I am the owner of all the planets. Therefore, nothing belongs to anyone but Krishna. One who possesses more money than he needs should spend it for Krishna. Unless he does so, he will become puffed up because of his false possessions, and therefore he will be punished in the next life as described herein. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatyade Sitarane. Many descriptions of rather unpleasant places are described here. But then again, if sages were given a description of many modern cities, they'd also find it pretty similar, considering the present state of so-called human civilization. People actually don't know how to achieve either happiness or peace or the supreme destination. The underlying cause of all the problems is ultimately forgetfulness of Krishna, or as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Chetasa sarva karmani mayi sanyasi matraha buddhi yogam upashitya mat shitak saratam bhava. That in all activities depend upon me, work always under my protection, in such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. In other words, there is a person called Krishna, and he's in everyone's heart. Now, people don't know that. Atevidu Swartagatim Ivishnu. They don't know that Krishna is there with them, giving them remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. People are thinking they're acting independently. But actually, everyone is completely dependent upon Krishna. Whatever we can remember is because Krishna is helping us remember it. And whatever we can't remember is because Krishna is helping us forget it. And whatever we know is because Krishna is supplying that information to us. Just like a teacher explains something to the student, or the father educates the son, so Krishna is the super soul in the heart, is directing the wanderings of every living entity throughout the whole universe. For the non-devotee, Krishna helps him forget that there's such a person as called Krishna, and gives so much information about how to prove that there is no God. And at the same time, one will not be able to forget material life. For a devotee, Krishna helps the devotee remember him, forget material life, and see things in relation to Krishna. So that's called the super soul helping us according to how we desire. Now for one who wants to be a proprietor of the material universe or part of it, then Maya takes away one's intelligence, so one actually believes that we are this gross and subtle material body. Although we have nothing to do with it, any more than we have anything to do with the dream at night, but due to the strong influence of illusion, we actually believe that as the body goes through these different changes, then we're actually changing. Although, with a little thoughtfulness, we can see I had a five-year-old body. That five-year-old body has disappeared. I'm still here. Now I have this body, which will also disappear. But none of these bodies have changed me. My experience is changing, but I'm not changing. Now the question is, what kind of experience I want? And forgetfulness of Krishna. Krishna says, Machita sarvadorgani mat prasada tarishasi atatat tvamaham karam nishoshasi vinangshasi. If one becomes conscious of Krishna, the fact that everything here belongs to Krishna, and is willing to utilize things under Krishna's directions, then the result is that one will become conscious of Krishna. The formula is quite simple. Accept everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure. Utilize it under Krishna and his representative's direction. Do things to please Krishna, and then one will naturally become Krishna will reveal himself. And if one doesn't want to do that, then one will be forced to act according to Trivida Narakasya Dam Dvaram Nashitam Atmanaha Kama Krodha Tatalobas Tasmat Etam Trayam Chajet. There are three gates leading to hell, namely lust, anger, and greed. Every sane person should become free from these three gates because they lead to the degradation of the self. In other words, we're the self, and if we don't, even for a moment, not agree with the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, then lust, anger, and greed will push us in so many different activities in the material existence, which some people consider to be glorious. As a matter of fact, modern civilization gives everyone a special type of false prestige according to what they're doing. If you're trying to collect butterflies, you may get your name in the as the butterfly collector of the year in some butterfly magazine. And one actually may believe that one is pretty close to being the supreme, because one has the best butterfly collection in Slovenia. Or anything else, become a famous athlete, or movie star, or industrialist, or politician, there'll be this kind of fame and prestige, profit, adoration, and distinction that goes along with some special accomplishment in some illusory sphere of material existence. And one will actually think we're making progress. But the only thing one is making progress towards is more illusion. Now one may not agree with Krishna in Bhagavad Gita that we're not this body. One may not agree that Krishna is actually God. One may not agree with Krishna, but one cannot disagree with Krishna when Krishna says, Mrityu Sara Haras Chaham, that at the time of death I take everything away. Or as Prabhupada said, we may refuse to bow down before Krishna, follow his instructions, but at the time of death, who doesn't bow down? Everyone is forced to bow down. We may not acknowledge God, but what about death? Death must be supreme, because everyone has to surrender to death. And what to speak of death, time is taking everything away from us. We can't stop time for a moment. So therefore, to think ourselves to be supreme and not recognize time and what to speak of death means that people are simply like ostriches putting their heads into the proverbial sand, thinking that they're safe because their little tiny head with long neck is now in the sand, although their huge body is outside ready to be attacked by a fearsome animal, still they believe that they're safe. So in this material world, people go through so many different sinful activities, which people don't believe anymore. If you tell people there's such a thing as sinful, they'll think that you're a fanatic, a religious fanatic. They're ready to hear Allah Akbar at any moment. They don't believe in sin because they believe whatever they do is all right. There's no God. There's no God in control. There's no karma. The only thing left is lust. And from lust, you can't be lusty without becoming greedy. And one can't become greedy without becoming frustrated. And the whole series goes on. Next step is delusion and forgetfulness and loss of intelligence. So we want to enjoy the material nature and we want to be enlightened at the same time. People, they say they're trying to make progress in knowledge, but actually they're making progress only in ignorance. And what would be the result? Well, here it says that we might get stitched up by the Yamadutas. We might be thrown into so many unpleasant circumstances that make our present circumstance seem quite desirable. But it's not, none of it is by accident, nor is the Yamadutas and Yamaraj simply trying to torture us. It's not that Krishna is a cruel person, and when people don't listen to him, then he becomes very disturbed, and he thinks, I'm going to get you. You don't want to listen to me? Well, I got a few friends down the block. They'll take care of you. No, Krishna is not a cruel, vengeful God. People don't respect him. Ah, he didn't bow down before me. You're a finished kid. Bow down, mister. No, Krishna does it because material nature is meant to wake us up. And the more deeply we're asleep, then the harder the material nature has to shake us to wake up. When Daksha committed the offense of blaspheming Lord Shiva, it may seem a little extreme that he lost his head and he got the head of a goat. After all, so many people criticize, but here is Daksha, practically the head Prajapati in the universe, must have performed millions of years of pious activity, says a few words because he had a bad day, and he winds up with the head of a goat. What kind of justice is this? Of course, if he was so learned, how could he not know that Lord Shiva is one of the three principal guna avatars? Obviously, he missed the Bhagavatam class or two. Therefore, in such a absorption, ignorance, he needed strong medicine in order to wake up. Of course, he didn't wake up, because afterwards he started blaspheming Narada Muni. It's bad enough to blaspheme Lord Shiva, but you don't want to blaspheme Narada Muni. But in order to shake people up, sometimes very strong, a strong slap is required so that people realize that maybe I'm doing something wrong. We can look at the material nature like that, especially in Kali Yuga, that people are simply being slapped by the material nature. Krishna vahir mukha bhoga vanchatare nikatastha. Maya nikatastha. Japatiyadari. That Krishna Bahirmukha, as soon as one turns one's face away from Krishna and then wants to enjoy the material world, nikatastha maya, the maya who's standing right by us, tare japatiyadari. Then she slaps us to wake us up so that we don't continuously commit the same mistake again and again. The entire modern civilization, we can see people just getting slapped. But they're not being slapped because Krishna wants to torture people. They're being slapped so they can wake up. But people don't take it like that. Instead of realizing they're being slapped to wake up, they try to take some intoxication to forget the fact that they're being slapped. And because they take intoxication, therefore they get slapped even harder. They're being faced with ever-increasing material misery, not because the material nature is trying to punish them, but material nature is trying to wake them up so they stop doing the activities that create the punishments that they're enduring. Up to the point, these hellish circumstances are given. And even then, we can see that people are very slow learners in the material energy. Because even after going up and down from heaven to hell, people still don't learn. And why don't they learn? Because basically they don't want to learn. They rather enjoy a drop in the desert of material existence than serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead and an ocean of pleasure in the spiritual world. So that's the causes, unwillingness of the conditioned soul. And the question is, how causelessly unwillingness are we in order to learn our lessons? When we get a pinprick coming from the material nature, do we start to cry, God, why is he picking on me? I'm a nice person. I never did anything wrong. My mother loves me. Why is God doing this to me? Is that our reaction? Or do we realize that the material nature kindly is trying to correct our bad habits so that we stop doing the same thing, punat punas charavata charavananam, doing the same thing over and over again. So as it says here, that we utilize our talents in the service of Krishna rather than utilize our talents in the service of our illusory conceptions of life. Even the talents we have, ultimately given to by Krishna to engage in the Sankirtan movement. We have knowledge, it's meant so that we can convince people that Krishna is God. It's not meant to glorify us, how intelligent we are. Actually, no one in the material world is intelligent, because if they were intelligent, they wouldn't be in the material world. And if we have ability to organize, we should organize help organize for the Sankirtan movement. Organize our own lives or other people's lives to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if we have some economic means, some resources, then utilize those resources in spreading the Hare Krishna movement, not to create our own little empires where we're God, but to create a situation where people find out who the real God is, then the energies are properly utilized. And because Krishna is the real God, it's not that we're going to starve. We give everything to Krishna. Krishna accepts it. He eats everything. We starve. We can see that the devotees who are offering things to Krishna, they don't starve. Sometimes they eat too much, but they don't starve. The conclusion is, better to utilize one's energies in the service of Krishna. Otherwise, there may be a few problems coming here and there. Unexpected problems. So we'll stop there. Any questions? Yes.
So when we listen to this, it seems so easy, but when we try to apply it, it's a big struggle. Why is that?
Well, because we're not very determined to apply it. As I've given the example before, we go up to a tree and we grab the tree and we say, let me go, let me go, let me go. And someone comes along and says, my dear sir, the tree's not holding on to you. You're holding on to the tree. No, no, you don't understand. It's grabbed me. Tell it to let me go. Sir, just let go of the tree. It's all right. It's not holding on to you. Oh, you and your philosophy. Help me. So because we're attached to our false egos, and we are attached to our plans to make progress in the material energy, therefore, it's hard for us to give up these plans in favor of doing something for Krishna. We actually believe we'll be happier if we fulfill our plans than if we become conscious of Krishna. Therefore, we won't give them up. And we make so many excuses. I have so many psychological problems. There's so many impediments. But there's no problem. Therefore, Krishna says, Masuchaha. Surrender and don't worry about it. Oh, I can't. If I surrender, this is going to happen, that happened. I have this obstacle, that obstacle. No, the more we think, that is the obstacle. All the anxiety over surrendering. Yes?
Hare Krishna. In a commentary, it said how to deal with money to different varnas. You elaborate on this, how to deal with money, how much money we can keep, or how to do with.
$5 and 5 euros and 50 cents you can keep. Well, that depends on one's circumstances. But generally we utilize the energy as much as possible in Krishna Sankirtan movement. The exact number is not pointed out in the Bhagavatam. But if you ask Ananta, he'll tell you. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Gandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.